So Jim sent me an email during the break pointing out that I was wrong. It wasn't Dusty Rhodes who was the main character in A Face in the Crowd. It was Lonesome Rhodes. And yes, duh. You know, look, I like Geraldo, brain fart. Only, you know, I didn't remember the character in a 1957 movie as where he thought, you know, the whole bomb suspect bombing thing was all just a false flag. I think a whole bunch of difference there. But thanks, Jim. Appreciate the heads up and the reminder. Yes, Lonesome Rhodes. And if you haven't seen it, Face in the Crowd, well worth the 2 hours of watching. Good stuff. Hey, good news coming out of Montana. You may remember back at the beginning of last month, we talked about how this French company had locked out their employees, threw them to the curb, you know, basically wanted, you know, to end everything that unions stand for. No more seniority, no health, you name it. They wanted to end it. And the workers, you know, they were standing tall. They were standing tough. And the senator, John Tester, came forth with an idea for a piece of legislation that I think is a great idea and we still need to be pushing for. That if you lock your employees out, no more sweetener for you. No more candy, no more goodies, no more tax breaks, nothing for you, and I'm all in favor of it. But today, the good news is those workers in Montana at the Emerus Company, they have withstood, they have stood tall, and they have won, which is why I've asked Randy Tucci back. He is the president of the formerly locked out union there, the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers, Local D239. Randy, congratulations. Hey, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me on.
Hey, good stuff, right?
It is. You know, we didn't necessarily get everything we want, but my membership, Chip, had put out criteria we needed to adhere to, and which was seniority and our overtime language we had. And the company had come back, actually switched out their bargaining team, brought in a whole different group to our last bargaining session, and actually reproposed language that we had proposed and actually wanted to get a deal done. So we were able to massage some of their terminology that was acceptable to my membership, and we ratified the contract this Tuesday, and we'll be headed back to work next Monday.
Good for you. Congratulations. And look, you know, it's that, you know, that old labor saying, you know, one day longer, and you've made this. And now at the end of this, the question then becomes, you know, by switching, you know, negotiating teams, has the company had a change of heart? Maybe you won't have to go through this in a year, two or five, however long of your contract, to where maybe now you're not going to have this going forward. What do you think?
Well, you know, that's the million-dollar question.
Yeah.
This is a 3-year contract. I think they've noticed that we stood up and we're not going to lay down. Our hope is that in 3 years, you know, they saw what we did this time, and it definitely hurt them in the pocketbook. The only way you're going to make a company pay attention is hurt them in the pocketbook. And so hopefully, you know, we stood up what we thought was right, and they will come 3 years. We won't have to go through this crap again.
Yeah, that's the hope. I mean, at the end of the day, it's always amazing to me that these companies pull this stuff because they end up spending far more money than they would have. Had they just negotiated in good faith and gone forward in a reasonable fashion, they always end up spending and losing. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the power grab. I'm not sure. But it just seems kind of short-sighted and dumb to me.
Well, to me, it's all about total control and being a dictator and not involving your employees in your business. And your employees are your best asset. And if you just involve them in it and get their opinions and their ideas, I mean, not only are the money we are making them now is a profit million plus, we could even make them more as they involve us, take our ideas. But they're not wanting to do that. They just want the almighty put the thumb down on you, dictate you, and say, hey, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And to me, that's not how business should be. You should welcome us in. Let us be part of it. We'll help you drive this business. We'll help make you money because that's why I have a job. I make you money. You take care of me, and we'll make you even more profitable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a partnership. And, you know, I've said this numerous times to business owners that I know. You know, you partner with labor unions so that you get the best qualified workers. You get people who are going to stay. The turnover rates in union shops as opposed to non-union shops, you know, world's difference. You know, to me, it just seems like a natural fit. And as I told one guy who runs a small manufacturing thing, I go, you team with someone like, you know, the steel workers, and they're going to bring you, they're going to be your HR. They're going to find you people and they're going to help promote you. I mean, I guess it's a different way of thinking.
Yeah. And I don't understand it. I'm not a business person. I'm just the worker, the guy that produces, wants to produce. I want to make the company money. That's my whole strategy. So I have a good job that can afford me good benefits. And,
yep.
You know, we made this company millions upon millions in profit, yet they thought they should retract some very good benefits from us. And it's like, why? Tell us why. And they said, well, because nobody else gets it. Well,
that's
not a good reason.
Yeah. But, you know, here again, you know, this idea, and this is one of those things that I like to talk about. You know, I want companies to be very profitable, not because I want them to be very profitable, but because I want to be able to share in the wealth that my labor creates. And that's how it used to be in this country. I mean, you go up into, you look at some of the graphs that they have out there, you know, from the end of World War II up until the middle 70s. As productivity rose, wages rose. As, you know, the meritocracy the right wing loves to throw, as we produced more, as companies made more money, workers did better. So everyone did better together. And somewhere around the middle to the late 70s, you saw this decoupling where productivity continued, you know, off into the stratosphere and wages just deadlined. And it's because corporations are going, hey, there's all this money and we can keep it for ourselves. And the heck with those working people. And then they began breaking unions and doing the kind of stuff that happened to you guys.
Well, absolutely. And when Ronald Reagan took PATCO out, the big airline units, you know, that sent a signal to all companies, hey, we don't have to honor contracts. We don't have to treat our employees right. So, hey, we're just going to do what we want. That was the wrong message, in my opinion.
Yeah, let me ask you, you know, I know John Tester, the senator there, you know, spoke out, came forward, and came forth with this picket act, which I think is a great idea. How much of this do you think was a kind of a driving force in getting this company to the table?
Well, I actually, you know, think there was several things that did it, but I mean, the company, Imerys, took notice when Senator Tester put this bill out there, because they immediately come out with, well, this is not how we should do a thing. But it got their attention, because that's a $170 million tax rebate that they're getting. And if they're not getting that, they're not going to be able to fund and try to take unions out. So, yeah, I think that got their attention significantly there, because it's funny, as soon as he put it out, I mean, it was an instant response from the company, where most of the time they just ignored it or they wouldn't respond at all.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things that I immediately reached out. When we talked, I immediately reached out to a number of politicians that I know and said, hey, this is something that we need to really get behind. You know, maybe not at the federal level, but right here on the state level, to where mm-hmm. if companies are doing this stuff, you start pulling back the sweeteners. No more candy for you until you act right.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I mean, it's the middle class is going away, and if we allow the multinational corporations to keep doing what they're doing, there will not be a middle class. There'll be an upper class and there'll be a low class. And that's not what's going to drive this economy. It's the middle class that drives the economy, that makes the money, that keeps the small businesses in business. So, you know, that's what we need to look at.
Now, well, we need that prosperous working class that my grandparents' generation fought, bled, and died for. And folks like you, you know, fighting the good fight and standing in there. And look, you know, a lot of people would have maybe folded, but you guys stood tall, and I give you credit for that. And, you know, I wanted to get you back on and congratulate you guys for sticking together, and the community there in Montana for backing you up and all of that. Because, you know, you don't hear a lot of good stories, you know, when these companies dig in. But this is a win.
Well, thanks, Rick. And, you know, it's not myself. It's 35 other employees. I mean, that's a small unit. But, you know, this thing went nationwide. And, you know, people have stood up and paid attention to this. And I hope this just drives it forward that, hey, you know, we need to support the unions. We need to support middle class. And I'll do everything I can to help drive this thing throughout the U.S.
No, look, it's that David and Goliath story. You've got this big national corporation that, you know, is making, as you pointed out, $1 million a month. They're making good money, and they're just not wanting to share. I mean, it's the greed story, and as you said, they're, you know, getting huge amounts of tax breaks on top of it. You know, there's just all of this. And, you know, again, I go back to that idea of the meritocracy, that if the company's doing well, the employees do well. Because, hey, you know, if the company's doing poorly, they're going to come back going, hey, we want concessions.
Right. You know, and the funny thing is, I just read an article today that, you know, about the big tax breaks Trump gave to all these companies. And lo and behold, guess what? Those tax breaks are not producing the jobs that Trump said they would. And we're not generating the economy like Trump said he would. So. No, maybe they need to step back and rethink some of this stuff. And,
yeah, but Randy, they've been feeding us that line of crap for the last 40 years.
I know.
You know, tax cuts do not create jobs. Tax cuts the way they do it do not. You give rich people more money, they're just going to pocket it. You want to create jobs, give guys like you and me and your members a couple extra bucks in your pocket so they can go out and, you know, take the wife to dinner and buy a new refrigerator, put an addition on the house, buy a new car, send the kids to college. That's how the economy grows.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you, Rick.
There you go. But I just wanted to say congratulations and have you pass it on to your members. Good on you guys.
Well, thank you, Rick, and I appreciate, you know, your support and what you've done for us. So,
good stuff, Randy. Thanks so much, man.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
All righty. No, look, this is one of those wins, and you got to celebrate the victories that come along, and good for these guys. Because I'll tell you, when we had Randy on the last time, it was looking fairly bleak. In that, you know, this big, you know, national big company, this big French company, had dug in, and, you know, they wanted to end, you know, all of it, seniority, everything, no more health care for you, no more any, and, you know, these guys are like, you know, we're not taking it, and they're like, well, if you're not taking it, to the curb, and they didn't have anybody cross the picket line, they didn't have any of that stuff, and good on them. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. I'm gonna take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Time to talk.